This is Mae Brussel, and it's side two of broadcast number 695, April the 1st, 1988. I realize with a lot of events swirling around, and the news is very interesting, a lot of the current news, it's hard to stay on one subject for some of you, maybe just for 3 weeks, and I will update some of the most important items of the news next week and run through those with you that refer to past broadcasts. But I sometimes isolate subjects for new listeners who are not familiar with this technique. After the Jonestown massacres, I will take maybe three broadcasts and just do Jonestown, or on alternative three, the plan for space stations and genocide, or on the John Kennedy assassination at the time of the House Select Committee on Assassinations, or the changing of popes, the murder of John Paul I, and the Polish pope that came in, I call him the Auschwitz pope, John Paul II, or the Grenada invasion and the use of our forces, these combined forces, special forces, introducing the Nazi helmets as part of the American uniform now. You don't have to order Nazi helmets from Soldier of Fortune. You can just join the army and you'll be wearing one. Nobody, again, whispered or said a word about that. But sometimes I do take 2 or 3 weeks to set a background, because when I refer to these things and items in the news, and you'll be hearing more and more about them, you can go back to these three broadcasts that I hope you're taping off the air every week, and you can order the sheets that accompany these broadcasts by sending a self-addressed stamped envelope, and if you want, you can send some money for the copying of printing them. I'd appreciate that. But I do think it's important, and I'm going slowly for me, because some of these names are new. Mr. General Adderholt, you know Lansdale, you should, General Lansdale from Southeast Asia. Major General John Singlaub has not been that visible in the news, considering his importance, and the organizations are certainly not that visible or not connected to each other. And as the domestic violence increases with the Nazi Party and the Klan and the domestic unrest that's coming, they're directly linked to General John Singlaub and to Robert Keith Brown, and to the World Commerce Corporation, or Clay Shaw and Permandex, and the OSS, Mr. William Donovan, and the organizations he set up that became the CIA. What you read in your newspapers today and tomorrow goes back, and we'll, again, pick up these items that I'm sharing with you and that other researchers have done and are sharing with us, so that I can refer to them when it's pertinent or important, and you have a more solid background than if I go quickly over a couple of the articles, which I tried to do and had to repeat them because it doesn't make sense to hurry through them when they're so important. Now, to get back to this particular study that was done on the basis that these people are working in the United States and are very dangerous, I just want to mention a few things again about John Singlaub and the magazines. This study that was prepared and given to me says the Soldier of Fortune editor and publisher Robert Keith Brown has on his staff there a man named John Donovan, and his name is very important for articles that come out later for his role in El Salvador and Central America. He's not only the explosive demolitions contributing editor to the Soldier of Fortune, but he's a real activist in uniform, fighting when it suits him. And the Soldier of Fortune has a large staff. If you buy it, you'll see it. In quotes, the unconventional operations contributing editor is Major General Heine Adderholt, the same fellow that was meeting in the Pentagon with Mr. Lansdale and John Singlaub. Mr. Adderholt is a part of the board of Soldier of Fortune. While he is very active with the intelligence community, was in the CIA, has his medical relief, flies down to these various areas, and has connecting links to Central and South America that are very important to study. And all of them are associated together with the present, and in the past, they worked with the Special Operations Group, the Phoenix Program, in Southeast Asia. John Donovan and Major General Heine Adderholt of Soldier of Fortune, as I say, worked in the covert and clandestine operations. So they come home from the Phoenix program and get on the staff of a magazine that hires the soldiers that worked for them in the Phoenix program under the Central Intelligence Agency and William Colby, who becomes the CIA director of the intelligence community when the war is over in Vietnam. And then they hire the people that they had before to go out and spread the sabotage and the killing in the name of fighting communism and really protecting the land for a few landlords and the profits of the few, with no intention. They have given no intention in any country of helping the middle class. There isn't any record of anywhere they've gone or touched on the planet Earth that they have tried to improve the lot of the people, and that or that was the purpose of their being there. They have never overthrown a cruel dictator. They put the cruel dictators in. And this is important to know, that Ronald Reagan and George Bush, Bush's brother, is helping and working with these groups, and George Bush was the head of Task Force 157 when we had a double domestic assassination in this country by these people, known as the Orlando Letelier murder, that I've referred to many times, with Ronnie Moffitt in Washington, D.C. So there are domestic murders carried on by these people, identical to what Taiwan is doing when they kill Mr. Liu up in San Francisco, the publisher. There's no difference if Taiwan orders the murder of a man in the United States, an American citizen, critical of Chiang Kai-shek or his son. There's no difference between that and our own American intelligence funding people like Michael Townley and the CIA and the Special Forces to murder somebody in the United States who is criticizing Mr. Pinochet in Chile. The American government has the same hit teams, the same death squads, and I wanted to make that really clear. We are doing exactly what Taiwan or any other country is doing, or Vietnam. We bring over Premier Ki and Thu, and they can arrange the murder of Mr. Cooperman down in the professor down in Los Angeles. This is not a question of foreign operation coming into the United States and killing an American citizen alone. We can get very outraged at that. It is also a matter of Americans killing people in the United States and working with the same teams that allow the murders throughout the world. And the closest organization and common denominator of all of them is the World Anti-Communist League. Now, the Survive magazine and the Soldier of Fortune also work with, besides Mr. John Donovan and Mr. Adderholt, Singlaub, Donovan, and Adderholt, and Robert Brown from the Phoenix Program, another element comes in that they work closely with, and that is the late Lieutenant General Mitchell Werbel. He was sort of the granddaddy, the czarist, the white Russian, the fellow who perfected and devised the silencer that could do so many shots per minute and that you can't hear in the same room. He died in December of 1983 and ran paramilitary training camps in Georgia and advertised extensively in the Eagle magazine run by Mr. David Atlee Phillips of the Central Intelligence Agency. He ran this ad in August of 83 for Psionic Center. That's his training center. 10-day course, .45 caliber combat shooting, executive protection, hostage negotiations, evasive driving, counterintelligence, unconventional weapons, shotgun stress, hand-to-hand combat, risk analysis, and escape and survival. And he has a whole training course that he conducted for years, running ads in David Atlee Phillips magazine, and also very closely associated with Larry McDonald of Western Goals and the various intelligence operations in the Defense Department. I can do a whole program, and I have done many, on Mitchell Werbel. Now, incidentally, in November of 83, when I first got introduced to Larry Flynt and was doing a story on the Korean airline and then on the murder of John Kennedy, in those two articles, I wrote about John Singlaub and Western Goals and his role to the police department in Los Angeles, and how I believe that Larry McDonald had to be killed to protect the members of Western Goals who were so influential. And within a short time, Mitchell Werbel, with all these expertise skills, moved into the home of Larry Flynt. The other person, I never did get the chronological order of these characters, but along with Werbel was Gordon Novell and G. Gordon Liddy, and I was writing in about the murder of John Kennedy and referred to Reverend Gail and Robert Keith Brown and Brown's superior John Zinglaub. One article about Brown was in the JFK assassination, the Nazi connections, and John Zinglaub was in the article I was doing on the Korean airline. And they were closely affiliated. So I was writing about all of these characters and the silencers of Warbell and so forth when they moved right into the house. And, of course, the rest is history of what happened to Larry Flynt. And if you don't know that, in March 1983, in the Soldier of Fortune magazine, they had another ad of the Cobra School of Mitchell Warbell, where it advertises that the security staff of Lyndon LaRoche from the National Caucus of Labor Committee was trained and attended a party with Mitchell Warbell and received their weapons training with Mitchell Warbell Sonic Psionics Training Center. This affects the Larry Flynt operation, what happened when Rebel magazine got started. Somebody at Rebel, I don't want to mention on the air, hired Lyndon LaRoche to do the security to check in who was writing for the magazine and what their background was. And I might have mentioned this before, but it was the LaRoche organization that was checking the security, and they turned in a report that somebody saw on this man's desk that say Mae Bressel is affiliated with the KGB, that she's a security risk. Now, I was writing about John Zinglaub, and the LaRoche organization that works with Zinglaub can get even by turning in a report that goes into a computer throughout the United States. So if I call a congressman's office or a newscaster and want to give them information, they ask who is talking, and if you call back, they say, we're doing a security check. This happened and twice in the last several weeks. So they do a security check, and how do I know that it isn't going right back into the material fed by LaRoche, who does the security material and protects John Zinglaub by saying that the people who talk about him and expose his activity therefore have to be KGB. The LaRoche people trained and worked with the Soldier Fortune Group and Mitchell Warbell, and so that they can look out for the interests of those people by getting even with those national, multinational computers to make sure that you don't have opportunities to publish or speak in public or maybe teach at universities if I wanted to do it again. All these kinds of clearances are gone. The opportunities for even probably getting a major publication are out because into the computers goes the story of your political affiliations. And the basis for doing that isn't who you see or know or what you're doing, but because you're using the right to question the things that they're doing to overthrow this government. Now, September 27th, 1979, on ABC, Geraldo Rivera had an interview with Mitchell Warbell, where he proudly called himself the war lover. They described him as a lifelong soldier, a freelance secret agent. Again, the freelance business acts as if he's out on his own when he has the approval to do anything and does work with the federal government all along. But it makes it kosher to say he's freelance because it doesn't look like we're at war or we're killing anybody. It's just Mitchell Warbell that's overthrowing the country. And the program describes his Cobra School, how he teaches how to kill. The weapons range from hatchets to machine guns. He's a half-hour drive from Atlanta, Georgia, and he's devoted to mastering the violent skills of death and destruction. This is a description of him on ABC television. Students are taught individual warfare. They learn to kill with pistols and rifles by daylight or night. The teaching program is used by local law enforcement people, bodyguards, and so forth, and Warbell is that chief of security. Burt Walden, a man who teaches among the group, is considered the most effective killer in the United States. This was on the program. Burt Walden is director of marksmanship, accredited with killing more than any soldier in U.S. military history, 113 enemy dead in Vietnam. Wouldn't you want to know if they were really enemy of who, or if they were simply villagers that he went through, women and children? What is the state of mind of a person in uniform? But he brags that he's killed more than anyone in Vietnam, and he teaches the shooting for Mitchell Warbell. Barney Cochran is the director of unconventional weapon instruction. He's a retired Air Force colonel, worked with the air commandos in Vietnam. He has a legend in the shadowy world of secret warriors. He presents specialties like killing with hatchets or ordinary kitchen knives. Mitchell Rebell does more than run a military school. This is part of ABC program, September 27, 1979. He has high connections to big business, which again is the link to World Commerce Corporation and those kind of activities. He has connections to the intelligence community and connections to the highest level, the covert clandestine, and to Daniel Graham, the Defense Intelligence Agency, and he's close to people they want on, like General John Singlaub. So Mitchell Rebell, and we know he is close to Singlaub, it works closely with Soldier of Fortune, and Singlaub sets that up, and Singlaub can link to the police department through computers of Western Goals with people like Admiral Moore on the staff, and Roy Cohn, again, I say I'll run through the names for you, Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb, the who's who of warfare and future wars that could be horrendous. Singlaub linking to the World Anti-Communist League and the American Security Council, those four branches that I've been covering, and very closely tied to Werbelt, who is a private CIA for hire. They said Major General John Singlaub knew Mitchell Rebell as a private CIA for hire, a private individual who can mount the kinds of secret operations the CIA wants done, but unofficially. So here we have, again, over and over in these articles and descriptions that I have isolated and saved for you, or the accumulated work of some other researchers pointing out this broadcast that I taped a long time ago, but haven't pulled out, the kind of mentality of these people starting after, before World War II, before we entered it, with British intelligence, and when J. Edgar Hoover was working with Interpol, when it was a police operation with Mr. Kaltenbrunner and Heydrich, top Nazis, one hung, one shot, and was a police setup for international police under Adolf Hitler. He carried pictures of the Gestapo in his office until Pearl Harbor, and then J. Edgar Hoover took them off the wall. But starting in 1942-43, he was ready to be kindly to them, but underneath and overtly, we were fighting the war. It looked like that, and we did fight it. But while it was going on, we were making arrangements for the marriage of these people to our own agencies and the corporations that were, again, to build up the German cartels. So the links of these people can branch off. They play many roles. They can put on a uniform and be in the Defense Department. They can be on assignment for the CIA. They can do killing and overthrowing when the CIA isn't allowed to do it. So they go out, in quotes, unofficially. So the covert operation even has breaks on it. And when the covert operation or the heads of the department say, you can't do that, even though Congress doesn't know half of what they're doing, then they send the likes of Mitchell Rebell, and even though he's deceased, there's 1,000 of him, and there's enough books on how to do the things that he did, and the organization set up publications so that you have a guideline of everything that they've been taught, and they update it with the latest techniques. Now, there's a quotation by John Singlaub referring to Mitchell Rebell. He said, Mitchell is an expert of clandestine operations. He's an expert on weapons, particularly on special types of weapons, silencers, and so forth. And, of course, their book runs ads and publications on how to buy these silencers. He has the respect of a lot of the Special Forces people. Those are the Green Berets from North Carolina, Jesse Helms' hometown. They have worked with him, and they know he has a lot of connections. If someone wants to bring something together, some mercenaries, to help a government someplace, to try to get this through the Congress and to try to get this through with the approval of the American people would be almost impossible. So having someone who knows how to get things done, you could contact him and have a mercenary force together rapidly and go to a certain area and do certain things. This is the way Che Guevara was killed down in Bolivia, and a lot of other heads of states and labor leaders and newspaper publishers and doctors and scientists and witnesses to events, whether it was the Abraham Lincoln Brigade or the Battle of the Bulge. These death squads have been in operation, and these people are glorified by the milieu that they work with. There's adoration in what they do, and they emulate them. And the so-called left or the middle have no idea this is going on. They listen to a program like that and turn on to the next commercial and have a beer or switch to the ball games. But when you read it, it again tells you, and I've cited in the last 3 weeks, maybe 7 or 8, 10 times of references of bypassing the United States. Now, that is what happened, and this is what is happening. And again, if they have the means to buy radio stations, television stations, to get people fired, the money is unlimited to go in and pick up motion picture studios, anything you want. In conclusion of the Geraldo Rivera broadcast, he said, Werbel is not merely a mercenary commander with a homicidal hatred of communists, but he's a committed racist as well. Werbel was asked what motivated him to work in paramilitary operations from Argentina, Guatemala, Thailand, Vietnam, Dominican Republic, and now running training groups in Georgia. And he responded, the real reason is to keep America American, to keep the goddamn communists out of here, to keep, maybe I shouldn't say that on the air, to keep the communists out of here, to keep the GD socialists out of here, to keep any group, any ethnic group, with the exception of my own, from running the country. And that is precisely what William Pierce writes about in the Turner Diaries, that Reverend Gale has and works with Robert Keith Brown and Edgar Eugene Bradley and the assassination team that set up the murders of the Kennedy brothers and Martin Luther King, and also sets up the religious right, the Klan, the Nazis, the Posse Comitatus. The goal is not different than Mitchell Werbel. The one thing you can say, and I can't praise enough, is the loyalty of the right wing, all the way from the German Gestapo and the end of World War I to up to the present day. Everything they say or do, they know why they're doing it, and they don't pick hairs and argue about it. If somebody else is trying to expose these situations, I have been at lecture forums or locations in the East, and people would ask me about I.F. Stone. If I don't like I.F. Stone, then nothing I do in the research has had any meaning to them. Some of the potentially most intelligent people will use your interest and walk away if you distrust I.F. Stone. If they say, what do you think about Mark Lane? And I tell them what I think and his past record and what he has done in his work of concealing the Nazis. If you don't like Mark Lane, there's a group of researchers who get out their various newsletters who have nothing to do with you if you don't like Mark Lane. If you like Jim Garrison and his attempt to try Clay Shaw and to bring Edgar Eugene Bradley and Lauren Hall and these various elements into New Orleans for a trial on the murder, the conspiracy to kill John Kennedy, if you like him, then you're on the outer fringe of some people who say, if you work with Jim Garrison, I can't have anything to do with you. The research continues, and there are many fine researchers, such as the people putting this work together, and many, I don't cite their names on the air because they want privacy. And we have a certain loyalty among us, but the reason the group isn't larger is that these various elements have the flimsiest reason for flaking off. Some of the women's group don't like it if I say Gloria Steinem is linked to the CIA. They pull back and think, that, what kind of a feminist is she? You can't talk about Betty Friedan. You can't talk about Gloria Steinem. If the evidence is there or the suspicion is there that they are not using their full knowledge or means or willingness to attack the problems that are taking away our liberty, that talk about meaningless things or are meaningful but not as important as simultaneously working on these issues, if you question why they're dragging their feet or why they close the door when somebody wants to give them evidence, then you become an enemy and these people fringe away. Now, the right wing doesn't do that. I know the whole religious right, the fundamentalist right, all of the military, they don't agree on everything or every person or every organization. But they agree on their end goals and they will stick together in many ways. And so that they have this deep affection when they speak for each other. They don't look at each other as killers. They look at each other as saviors. That same mesmerization that went on in Nazi Germany is in their eyes, and the same indifference is in the population here. And the same links to the federal government is evident here, and the same indifference of the general population is evident here. And that is a sure way to have fascism in America. Now, to complete this segment, and then I have more going into the magazines and the military activity of these people, their bondage to the organizations I have cited and the interrelationship of those people, I just want to summarize a few pages that was presented by the people that link these various organizations, the magazines, the American Security Council, the Western Goals, and the World Anti-Communist League together. In summary, the Western Goals section describes Major John Singlaub, the current head of that group of the World Anti-Communist League, with close ties to the American Security Council, and his role in the Phoenix Program in Southeast Asia, his work with the assassination programs in Vietnam and torture, his long association with Nazi interrogators and the Waffen-SS and their uniforms, illustrates the role of John Singlaub in setting up the Soldier of Fortune. The world and the overall umbrella for the Death Squad Network for Latin America, I mentioned before, is titled CAL. That is the Latin American Anti-Communist Confederation, and they are the affiliate of the World Anti-Communist League that I cited a while back, funded by a neo-Nazi splinter group after World War II in Mexico, and Mexico was heavily saturated with literally hundreds and even thousands of Nazis that settled in Mexico. And they have this group, CAL, or the initials, set up by the Nazis in Mexico. And CAL was also called the White Hand, the White Force, the White Brigade. You might have heard them. And at a meeting in 1981, the secretary of the organization, CAL, Rafael Rodriguez, concluded his speech to members, all member organizations of CAL in El Salvador and the liberation movement in Guatemala are on the front line. And this expose says, in Guatemala, the national liberation movement is headed by Mario Sandoval Alcaraz, and I mentioned before his role with the Party of Organized Violence. So, in concluding this section on the World Anti-Communist League, I want to mention that one former top official of the World Anti-Communist League described in May 28, 1978, in the Washington Post, there's an article by Paul Valentine, he described a situation where he confided to an associate during a drinking bout that he had personally hidden Dr. Joseph Mengele on his exodus to Paraguay. This is somebody who accompanied him to Paraguay and is a member of the World Anti-Communist League. I don't know whether he did or not, but this is a copy or a statement of a report that he made. And this group are the real Nazis working closely with the organizations. And I will probably update the news for you next week and get back in weeks to come on some more material. I have a lot more material on them. And as I say, I could have done it faster, but on the other hand, I don't see how I could, because I do want you to think about these names when I refer to them again. They're new names to learn in organizations, but they're very important. Incidentally, I do have time to talk about the American Security Council. I'll go into greater detail of those members and the Coalition for Peace Through Strength that I briefly mentioned before. In describing this, these particular researchers summarized by saying the American Security Council and the Coalition for Peace Through Strength are two of the most heavily financed right-wing lobbying organizations in the nation. Based in Washington, they share offices and interlocking personnel with the Security and Intelligence Fund. Their activities include speaker bureaus, intensive lobbying for Congress, purchasing of newspaper and television is to put forward extreme military and foreign policy decisions. The American Security Council and the Coalition for Peace Through Strength are supervised by General Robert Richardson III and John Fisher, both longstanding collaborators with the neo-Nazi racialist and recent head of the American branch of the World Anti-Communist League, Roger Pearson. And it's long overdue that I do some broadcast for you on Roger Pearson. And this group also links to General Daniel Graham and Fritz Kramer in Washington, D.C., but I don't have time to go into that. Their organization, the Institute on Strategic Trade, they directly link to them. And, of course, this Fritz Kramer is the fellow that I consider the number one man to smoke out and to be seen visibly and fingerprinted as the guy in the United States Army Plans Department running these particular groups that I've talked about at length, and particularly for the last 3 weeks. I'm convinced, because of the role of Alexander Haig and Henry Kissinger in South Korea, Vietnam, and the Defense Department, and Reverend Moon's activities, and John Singlaub, and Mr. Adderholt, and Mr. General Lansdell, all of them, it goes back to the Kissinger-Kramer connections, and I can't help but feel that Mr. Fritz Kramer should come forward now and be identified. But not this evening. The time has run out, so I have to stop. But this is Mae Brussel. The program is World Watchers, and I'll be back with you next week.